He has no hair.
He puts gel in his hair every day and he looks really cool.
He's old.
He have a mustache.
This is gonna be hard.
He has a beard, brown hair.
Does he have brown hair?
He's magical.
I don't really know because I have never seen God before.
Watch movies.
Watch TV.
My dad likes to golf.
My dad likes to golf.
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 My dad doesn't like to golf.
I have no idea.
He loves everyone.
He's strong.
He protects us.
He's powerful.
Daddy loves us no matter what.
He's powerful.
He saves me from when I do something bad.
That he goes on daddy dates with us.
He loves me.
He like plays with me and my sister and stuff.
He's really cool.
He is kind.
He always cares for me.
My favorite thing about my dad is that he's really strong and he loves me a lot.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, I just want to welcome everybody on all of our campuses this Father's Day weekend, and especially all of you dads. In fact, if I can, for just a moment, let me just spend a little bit of time in prayer because our dads need prayer these days. So let's just start out that way before we dive into the message. God, thanks so much for leading us here this weekend all across this valley. Thank you for all the dads that you've gathered here and the responsibility and the privilege that they have in leading families and growing up kids and things like that. And God, it can be challenging, it can be stressful, but it can also just be so rewarding and exciting. God, I pray that you would just inspire and encourage dads today, that you would help them realize, God, it's not about being perfect, it's about making progress and looking more and more like you and your son Jesus each and every day and week and year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, back a couple weeks ago now, when our kids were just getting out of school for the summer, I pulled my whole family together in the backyard, and we had what we call a family dream session. And we've been doing this at the Clark House for probably the last 4 or 5 years. And the reason we do this dream session is because as my kids are getting older and older, it's kind of becoming more and more difficult to just communicate with them. And so this is something that's really pretty easy that any dad could do during the summer or any time of the year, really. What I did is I just took some big post-it notes and I put them up on the windows in our backyard. And then I just wrote out several different categories, like what are some things we want to learn this summer? What are some things we want to start doing this summer? What are some things we want to stop doing? Who are some people we want to serve? What do we want to see? All sorts of things like that. And then I just gave everybody markers, and we just spent the next 30 minutes to an hour just writing all kinds of things underneath all of those different categories. And we just kind of communicated and dreamed about our summer. And again, that's something kind of simple that a lot of us could adopt and do. I want to tell you this, that one of the very first things that went up on those pieces of paper was from my kids. And it's something that they wanted me, their dad, to learn. Here's what my kids wanted me to learn. They wanted me to learn this summer how to Snapchat. You know what Snapchat is? If you don't know what Snapchat is, it's kind of like texting on steroids is what it's like. And Snapchat has quickly become the preferred method of communication for my kiddos and probably tens of millions of others around the United States of America. And I got to tell you, I'm just not very good at Snapchatting. I'm sure I frustrate my kids when I'm trying to communicate with them through Snapchat. I also know that for me, trying to do it, it's frustrating. Just the whole idea of communication is difficult. But I also know this. I know that my two kids, Ruby and Cole, they really do want to effectively communicate with me, their father. But sometimes it's really difficult to figure out how to do that. And in fact, that's what I want us to zero in on and talk about today. As we continue this series called The Experience, I want us to talk about something called prayer. And prayer is essentially just talking to God. It's communicating with God. And the question is, how do we communicate with God, our Father in heaven, in the most effective way? If you have a Bible with you today, I want to ask you to open it up to the book of Matthew. It's the very first book in the New Testament of the Bible, Matthew chapter 6. If you have a smartphone or a tablet with you, the CCV app already has Matthew chapter 6 there. If you got a program when you came in, there's some notes there. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching some of his very best friends, his disciples, how they can communicate with God. And he does this by sharing one of the most famous prayers ever recorded. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And just allow me to read this to you today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then in some of your Bibles, it may go on to say, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that right there is an incredible prayer. And there's so much that we could tear apart and learn in this prayer about communicating with God. We could do a whole series, no doubt about it, with just these few verses. But for the sake of today, for the sake of our study today, I want us to just zero in on the first two words of that prayer. Our Father. Our Father. And the reason I want us to do that is because I think these are probably the two most important words in the entire prayer. Because you see, when you say a person's name, you make a statement about the nature of the relationship that you have with that person. Or maybe let me say it like this. The name you use to address somebody gives context to the rest of the communication. Let me try and illustrate this. It's so important that we get this. Imagine that tomorrow you give me a call on my phone. And I pick it up and you just say, hello, Pastor Todd. Immediately, right there from just your first couple of words when you address me, it gives context to our conversation. Pastor Todd. Now, let's say I get a call on my phone tomorrow and somebody says, hey, TC, how you doing? That might be somebody from our staff here at CCV because a lot of times people call me TC. That's just my initials. What if I get a call and somebody says, yo, bro, that might be my brother, Toby, who lives in Kentucky. What if I get a call and there's kind of a long pause and then somebody says, dude, what up? That might be one of my friends in California because they call me, they basically call everyone dude from California. What if I pick up my phone and the first thing I hear is, hey, honey, or hey, sweetie, or maybe some other things I shouldn't say, that's probably my wife, Renee. Or what if the first few words I hear when I pick up the phone is this, hey, daddy, I know immediately that it's either my son, Cole, or my daughter, Ruby. And here's the thing, everything else for the rest of that conversation, every request they make, every confession they make, all of it is in context of those first couple words. Hey, Dad. Hey, Father. And it changes the entire way that we talk and relate with each other. It gives context. Back several years ago, my daughter Ruby, she was clear back in kindergarten, so it's been a long time ago, actually. Ruby got into this kick for a while of calling me Todd. It made me insane. I'm telling you, it made me crazy. She would say things like, hey, you want to go outside, Todd? Hey, Todd, it's time to eat. It made me nuts. You know why? Because she was calling me Todd, but it wasn't the right context for our relationship. And I let it go for maybe a few days. I don't know. Maybe I let it go for a week. And then eventually, I can remember pulling Ruby aside and saying, "Hey, Ruby, would you please quit calling me Todd?" Because you see, Ruby, anybody on the planet can call me Todd. But did you know that you are the only little girl in the world that can call me Daddy? Jesus begins his prayer by saying, "Our Father." And it gives incredible context to the rest of this communication. This is huge, because realize that Jesus doesn't say, "My Father in heaven." He could have said that because it was his Father in heaven, but he doesn't say, "My Father." He says, "Our Father." Friends, this is the most unique opening line in the history of prayer. No one had ever addressed God as Father in that context as Jesus did. And not only he does that, but Jesus also invites you and I to do the same thing. Jesus says, okay, here's the deal. When you pray, when you communicate with God, you should talk to him as though you're talking with your dad or your father or something like that. Now, let me ask you a question on all of our campuses. And this is 100% participation on all of our campuses. By a show of hands, how many of you have had a father here on this earth? How many of you have a father? Yeah, that's all of you, by the way. You're sitting there, "I don't know, do I, honey?" Yes, you do, okay? All of us have an earthly father. And because all of us have an earthly father, we also, every single one of us, has a definite picture in our minds of this word father when we start talking about it. For some of you, your earthly father has been a huge blessing to you. And your earthly father has been a boost when it comes to your relationship with God. For others of you, your earthly father, let's be honest, has been like one of your number one stumbling blocks and hindrances when it comes to having a relationship with your heavenly father. You see, your view of your earthly father either helps or hurts your view of your heavenly father. Let me say that again. The way you view your dad on this earth either helps or hurts the way you view your father in heaven. Maybe you're thinking, "I never really thought about that." What about this? Do you think it's any coincidence the wars that are going on, just the spiritual warfare that's going on in our culture against families and against fatherhood? Do you think that's any coincidence? Consider this. If God's desire is for you to know him and relate to him as a father, what do you think would be one of Satan's number one initiatives in your life and in this world? Wouldn't it be to mess up your view of your earthly father? Wouldn't it be to destroy your image of your dad here on this earth? Because if Satan can wreck your image of your dad here on this earth, he might also be able to mess up your view of your father who is in heaven. You see, what you and I think and how we believe about our father here on this earth is a big deal, because it affects the way we view our father in heaven. And I know this is a little bit intense, but I think it's something as a community at CCV we really need to wrestle with a little bit, especially dads on a weekend like Father's Day. We need to wrestle a little bit with this so we can progress and grow further in our relationship with God. So here's what I want to do for just the next few moments. I want us to consider like five different types of fathers that we've had here on this earth. And these aren't the only types of fathers that we have. This is just kind of like a cross-section of fathers. And I want us to see how our father here on earth affects our view of our father up in heaven. So we're going to allow these five silhouettes right here to represent our dads. And maybe you're thinking, "Well, my dad wasn't nearly that skinny." That's okay. We're just going to let these represent our dads, okay? So here's the thing. When you think of father, maybe one of the first words that comes to your mind is simply this: absent. Your father was just kind of absent, and maybe that was because of a divorce or something like that. Your mom and your dad got into conversations and they split apart, and because of that, your dad wasn't as involved in your life as he maybe wanted to be, or certainly as you wanted him to be. Or maybe your father was absent because he's passed away. One of my closest friends, his dad passed away 4 or 5 years ago, and there's still like this huge void and absence in his life because of that. And or maybe it wasn't because of death or divorce or anything like that. It was just that your dad was really busy. I mean, he was always working. Or maybe he had a hobby that he did all the time. And I don't know what it is, but your dad, for some reason or another, was just absent. He kind of wasn't in the picture. And what happens a lot of times is we project our view of our earthly father onto our heavenly father. And we say, yeah, sure, I'd love to communicate with God. But I doubt if he wants to communicate with me. I mean, he's way out there. He's unconcerned. He's unconnected. He's probably way too busy to be connected to me. And because your earthly father was kind of absent from your life, you assume your heavenly father is probably very similar. Here's another word that comes to mind sometimes when we think of our father here on earth, and that is abusive. I know for some of you, this is the only kind of father you knew, and because your father was hurting, he also hurt you. For some of you, that was a verbal abuse. You can still remember just a barrage of brutal words that came towards you. Some of those are still playing in the soundtrack of your mind. For some of you, it was emotional abuse. It was just you're trying to figure out where you stood with your dad, and you were trying to figure out your dad's mood. And sometimes when he came home, you know, you would get a hug, and other times you would get ignored. And it was just emotionally, it was taxing. And maybe the abuse was a physical abuse. And one of the main things you can remember your dad saying was something like this: hey, you can never tell anybody about this. And that's been 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. And a lot of times what we do is we take that and we project it onto God. And we say, right, you want me to communicate with the God who's mad at me? And because of that, it's hard for us to trust God. We get suspicious of God and that sort of thing because of the way we viewed our earthly father. Or maybe your earthly father was more like this. It was passive. Your father didn't really yell much, doesn't really yell much or scream, which I guess is a good thing, but he also doesn't praise much, doesn't encourage much, isn't real involved in being a role model. He's kind of just passive. He's kind of just paralyzed. And because of that, when we think about communicating with God, we say, well, I'd love to communicate with God, but I doubt if he has much to offer me. I doubt if he's very active. We have a hard time sometimes, if we've had a passive father here on earth, we have a hard time seeing God as anything but just passive in our lives and in this world. We don't see him as active in our world. We don't see him as active in our lives because our own father wasn't very active in our lives. A fourth kind of father that some of us have experienced is the performance-based father. And you knew from your dad that you could get praise and you could get encouragement, but you also had to earn it, right? You had to make the team. You had to make the grades. You had to run faster. You had to jump higher. And he was very performance-based. He was always, you know, monitoring things and that sort of thing. And a lot of times we project this image of our earthly father onto our heavenly father, and we think that our father in heaven is all performance about do this, and do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and then you'll be good, right? Or we think heaven is kind of like a game, and we just hope that we score enough points to get in, right? I mean, some of you, even right now, you're thinking about God in that way. You're thinking, you know what, God? I have been to church 3 weeks in a row, right? That's pretty good. Next week will be 4 weeks in a row. And if I get here 4 weeks in a row, I want a star on my chart in heaven because that is a big deal. Or maybe you think about heaven being kind of like scales, that you need to do more good than bad. And if you can just perform good enough and do more good than bad, then you'll be okay in your life. And we kind of project this view of our earthly father onto our heavenly father. Or maybe you have this kind of father here on this earth, and that is the empowering father. The empowering father is the kind of father who's a good role model for you. And he's not perfect, right, by any means. He's not perfect at all. I mean, he still wears black socks and sandals to pick you up from school sometimes. I mean, he's not perfect at all, but at least you knew you could talk to him and he would pray with you and he cared enough to discipline you and that sort of thing. And so you project this onto God, and sometimes for many of you, you don't have a problem communicating with God at all because you see God as someone that you trust and someone who cares about you and believes in you and wants the best for you and all those sorts of things. So these five silhouettes right here represent some of the different kinds of fathers that we have had on this earth. And the whole idea today isn't to just dissect the type of father that we had here on this earth. Some of you are probably thinking, I had a little bit of this one and a little bit of that one. That's fine. The big question that I really want us to get to is this. Which one of these best describes you? Which one of these best signifies you, dads? And here's why I want us to bring this up and wrestle with this for just a moment, because we've talked about how for you, your view of your heavenly father was affected by your view of your earthly father. And so right now, for some of you, it's the very same way with your kids. Your kids' view of God is being affected by the way they view you. And I know some of you right now are saying, well, Todd, that is like incredibly convicting to me. And I would say, good. It should be. It's incredibly convicting to me, too. I'm trying to raise two kids, and I got to sit up here and preach on the weekends for crying out loud and then try and live it out. It's not easy to do that in front of your kids. And what I guess I just want us to think about is this whole idea of where are we at? And the goal, listen to this, the goal is not for you to someday be a perfect father. You're not going to be a perfect father. The goal is just to be honest about where you are, which one of these best describes you. Just be honest about it. And then be committed to improving. Not to be perfect, to be honest about where you are and be committed to improving as you lead your family and as you lead your life. We got to realize that there's no such thing as a perfect father. Only our Father in heaven is perfect, our God in heaven. If you're taking notes, maybe we can kind of pull this together like this. God is not just a bigger version of your earthly father. God's not just a bigger version of your earthly father. Well, my dad here on earth was just kind of absent, so maybe God up in heaven is really absent. No, he's not just a bigger version. Secondly, he's not just a better version. He's not just a better version of your earthly father. Here's what's important to realize. God is the perfect version of your earthly father. Let me say that again. He's not just a bigger version. He's not just a better version. He's the perfect version of your earthly father. I love what Pastor Andy Stanley says. He says, God is not the reflection of your earthly dad. He's the perfection of your earthly dad. And I want you to know something. Your perfect heavenly father, my perfect heavenly father, always answers all of our prayers, all of our requests. Now, he may not answer them the way you want him to, but he always answers. In fact, our Father in heaven oftentimes answers our prayers when we communicate with him and we're sharing requests with him and we're sharing our wishes with him. He oftentimes communicates with us in the very same way as we dads communicate with our kids here on earth. In his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, Bill Hybels shares four ways that God answers all of our prayers. And whenever I get the chance to share this with people, I love sharing it because I think it gives such great context to prayer and how it looks when we are communicating with God. What is really going on behind the scenes when we pray? I want us to discover this today. First of all, I would say this. If the request is wrong, God says no. He can do that. He's God. And we can pray some pretty self-centered, short-sighted prayers, can't we? You ever found yourself praying for your wishes rather than God's will? I have. In the Bible, in James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Sometimes if the request is wrong, God just says no. And in the same way, a lot of times, dads, we do that. If our kids ask for things and the request is wrong, we say no, don't we? Can I rent this video game? No. It has explicit content in it. We're not doing that. Can I go see this rated R movie, Dad? No. The answer is no. It's not a good request. And so we just say no to our kids sometimes in the same way that God says no when it's wrong. Secondly, if the timing is wrong, God says slow. Now, how many of you know this is worse than no, isn't it? God, please just don't say slow, say no. But God doesn't say no, he says slow, right? Maybe a good example of this would be that you're looking for a job. You really want a job, and God's sitting up there in heaven saying, hey, I got a job for you. I can do that so easily. I can orchestrate that. But here's the thing. The timing's not quite right. Because I know if you get this job, if you get this really good job, you're going to spend 50, 60 hours a week working. And you're never going to be a part of that neighborhood group again anymore. Or you're going to spend all weekend working. You won't be at church at all. So I would love to answer that request. But the thing is, the timing's not quite right. There's some things we need to work through in that. And sometimes, dads, we answer the same way with our kids. If the timing is wrong, we say slow. If your daughter comes to you and says, hey, Dad, when can I start dating? Can I start dating, please? And you say, well, honey, the answer is slow. You're only 29 years old, right? You still got one more year. One more year and you'll be there. Right? Sometimes the answer is just slow. Well, that's what God says and that's what we say to our kids. Thirdly, if you are wrong, God says grow. Grow. As I look back on my prayer life, I guarantee you it's this third point that oftentimes short circuits my communication with God. There are things I need to admit to God. There are things I need to confess to God. Friends, did you realize that unconfessed, unresolved, unadmitted sin actually hinders your communication with God? God wants to answer our prayers in a positive way. But before he does that, he knows that you need to grow. There's some things you need to understand or mature through. We do the very same thing with our kids, don't we, Dad? When there's a request, maybe we have taken a cell phone from one of our kids. Not that that would ever happen, of course. But we take a cell phone from them, and your son or your daughter says, hey, can I have my cell phone back? When can I have my cell phone back? And you say, well, I'll give it to you soon, but there's some things you got to grow through. There's some things we got to discuss before I can answer this in a positive way. You need to grow first. But then finally, number four, if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says, go. God says, go. And I think God is just fired up and jazzed up to answer our prayers in a way that seems positive to us. In the very same way, dads, fathers, we love to answer our kids' prayers in a positive way, but sometimes the answer has to be no. Sometimes it has to be slow. Sometimes it has to be you need to grow. But if all those get in line, we can say, all right, let's do this. Let's go. And I just wanted you to see today how when we're communicating with our Heavenly Father, that he answers and he does respond to all of our prayers. Maybe not always the way we want him to, but he does respond. Now, here's the takeaway. If you're taking notes, here's the takeaway. It's very simple. It's just pray today. Pray today. Everybody say pray. Pray. Everybody say today. Pray. Today. Pray today. This is something very simple that anyone of any age can do, whether you've been in church a lot or whether you've been in church just a little. Pray today. Now, let me share just a few ways that you could do that. First of all, at home. Dads, man, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in your home sometime today, sometime this weekend, to gather your family up and pray together. I know that can be intimidating sometimes. You can be a little bit nervous, but dads, I want you to take this challenge and lead out in your family and say, hey, before dinner time or in the living room or before everybody goes to bed, say, hey, let's just come together and let's just talk to God. Let's just pray and thank God for some of the different things in our life. Dads, I want to challenge you to lead that out in the home. Another place you could pray today would be on the phone. You could call one of your kids who's living in a different part of the country and talk to them and pray for them. Or maybe on Father's Day weekend here, you can call your dad who lives in another part of the country. And you're talking, then you come down to the end of the conversation and you say, hey, Dad, could I pray for you? He may have heart failure if you do that, by the way, so you may want to be careful with that statement. But you could just pray for your dad today. And then finally, if you really want to take things to another level, I want to encourage you to pray in restaurants, to pray publicly in your life. Now, I have this friend, and I was just thinking about this today. I don't do this yet in my family, but I'm so inspired by it, and I want to do it. I want to challenge you to do it. I have this friend who every time I eat with him at a restaurant, when we're ordering our food from the server, we get everything ordered, and then my friend always says this to the server. He always says this. He always says, hey, in a little bit, when you deliver our food, we're going to pray for our food. But I just wanted to ask you, is there anything in your life that we could pray for? He asked that to the server. Hey, we're going to pray for the food in just a little bit, but is there anything we could pray for you today? Is that cool? I mean, friends, what if we start doing that? What if all of our friends, what if thousands of us started doing this around the valley? We would change the fabric of this city for Jesus Christ if we would just start doing that. If we would just start praying for the people who are serving us. Hey, I'm going to eat this food, but before I do, is there anything that I can pray for you about today? That would freak out some servers, wouldn't it? Oh, another CCV person here praying for me. You're the third one today, right? What a cool thing. What a cool thing to be known for. So again, the takeaway is simple and it's easy. Pray today. Dads, lead out in praying at home. Pray on the phone for your family members and pray out publicly in restaurants. And let's turn this city upside down for Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you right now. God, thank you. Thank you so much for leading us into these rooms on all of these campuses on this Father's Day weekend. Thank you, God, for the word that we can study and your prayer and just the first few words of Our Father and how just those two words are so full of meaning. God, I thank you for the fathers that we've had here on this earth. They're certainly not perfect, nor are we perfect fathers and dads and parents for that matter. But God, I pray that you would just allow us to be committed to improving and getting better and better each and every week and month and year in leading our families closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen.